We're on. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and we've got a bit to take in to learn a bit about this day. And so we're going to pray that God might help us learn a bit about what we're going to think about. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for this day and just pray that today it might help us, maybe for a lot of us, just be reminded again that we have your presence with us, and to really think and pray and seek that power and that teaching of your Holy Spirit in our life. Maybe for some of us, it's all a bit new, this idea. And we pray for those people that they might come to understand that God is near to them. Not distant, near to them by the power of your Spirit. So, Lord, help us to think clearly, open our heads to the information we need to learn, but also open our hearts to what you want us to take into our spirit, that we might go and live in the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in our culture, we have lots of important days we celebrate. In our church, we give out jelly beans for things like birthdays and wedding anniversaries, which is great because as a church family, we want to do that. There's other things we celebrate in our culture. We celebrate achievements. We celebrate when you're commencing something, when you're finishing something. We celebrate that most important of all days, Father's Day. And there's that other little day, Mother's something, that one. But Father's Day, like all these days, we've got all these special days. Now, in the church, we have some special kind of celebrations as well. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us we have to have these days, but there's something helpful and good and God-honoring about stopping and recalling some of these key events that happened in the history of the life of the church, of the life of Jesus, that have affected us forever. And so we don't do these days as some sort of ritual that, well, if we tick off this religious festival, God's going to be happy. We celebrate these days as markers that happened in actual history that have affected all eternity. Now, of course, I guess the two most common and that we put the most effort into is Easter, and rightly so. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is at the center of all of our hopes and our plans and everything God has for us. Everything before was heading towards that cross and resurrection. Everything after is flowing out of what happened at the death and resurrection of Christ. And so we rightfully have a big celebration at Easter. Christmas. We love Christmas. Who's all the ones that love Christmas in the room here? A few people like Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, decorate your house. And I'm still carrying over a little bit of retail lag from Christmas after 17 years with Woolworths. So Samantha says I get a little grumpy at times with some of the things, but when you had just year after year of working long, long hours and cranky customers, you're a bit jaded over Christmas. But I'm getting there. I'm getting more excited each year. Now, they are two really key events. But there's another key event, and that's today, Pentecost. And often in some church traditions, this day is a little bit forgotten. And it's sad in a way because it's a really important day. There's a real sense that Pentecost is the birth of the church. There's, yes, at Jesus' resurrection, that was when our hope as a church started. But really here, when the Holy Spirit came personally and powerfully on God's church, that gift that God sent of his Holy Spirit, this is really the birth of the church. And so it's a really important thing that we shouldn't overlook. The Holy Spirit. Now, we've got a little bit of a background that Jesus, even before he died, promised that this was going to happen. And there's lots of passages about this. Here's a couple of well-known ones. John 14, 16 to 18. This is what Jesus said. This is before he died and rose again. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, or another comforter is another word that some versions use. Another comforter who will never leave you. So Jesus was going to die, rise again, go to heaven, but this one was never going to leave those that are followers of Jesus. Verse 17. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it's not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So note there that the Holy Spirit was already present in the world, but now, at Pentecost, it was going to be in believers, personally. No, I will not abandon you as orphans, says Jesus. I will come to you. So there's the one of the key promises there. And here we have this beautiful picture of the mystery of one God in three persons, right? We had the Father saying through Jesus, he's going to give the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God in three persons. And this was the promise that Jesus was going to go physically, but the Holy Spirit was going to come personally to his believers. The Holy Spirit is often the part of the Trinity that gets a bit neglected in many kinds of traditions and faiths. Luke 24:49. Oh, I don't have my slides. I'm going to have to look this up now. Now, Luke was a doctor who wrote the book of Luke and wrote the book of Acts that we read before. At the end of Luke 24, it says this, Jesus, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father has promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And then we go to Acts, which is Luke writing this as well. Acts 1, verse 4 to 5. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he had promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then down to verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses telling people everywhere. So can you see all the lead up to this event? Jesus had been promising that the gift of the Holy Spirit was coming. He'd been promising that, yes, I'm going to heaven. Jesus was going to go back to heaven, but the Holy Spirit was going to come personally to believers. And this is what happened at Pentecost, this vital day in the church, the history of the church, Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Well, Pentes from the Greek 50. So it was 50 days after Passover. That's where we get the word Pentecost, if you're wondering where it comes from. So it's kind of 7 weeks after the Passover, which is 7 weeks from Easter, right? Because Jesus died and rose again at Passover. So this day is about 7 weeks since Jesus died and rose again. And he's been alive, he's been with his disciples, and now he's going back to heaven. And then a few days after he's gone back to heaven, we have this event of Pentecost. Now it was based around the Jewish Feast of Weeks. And the Jews had lots of feasts they had. Now, the Feast of Weeks was a harvest festival. And so it started at Pentecost. And that would be the start of the wheat harvest. And the farmers, Jude, would have to bring some of their first of their harvest and give it as an offering to God. And this is where we get the idea of first fruits, and even in church offering, that you give first to God. So they would get the first of their harvest. And instead of going and selling that to make money, they'd go and give that as a sacrifice. So this was the start of the harvest festival. So it was a thanksgiving to God for what he had provided and a thanksgiving to God that he was going to provide. It was this real thanksgiving celebration to God was the Feast of Weeks. And so the city, Jerusalem, imagine it's full of people. There's people everywhere from all different places, all different parts, Jews and non-Jews. So the city is full of all different types of people at this time. So Jesus has gone to heaven, right? We know that's where we're up to. Jesus has returned to heaven. He's no longer walking the earth. And all the believers are there together. And suddenly we have this amazing thing that happens that we read in the book of Acts chapter 2. Now, several people have tried to capture what this looks like for those at home. There's a Lego one, Sam, if we can show that. They've tried to capture a picture of this day, if you like your Lego. Lots of artists have tried to capture this event. If we can have the next one there for those people watching on their computers. This day of Thanksgiving. So all the believers are there, and they're there together, and they're there, and then suddenly this sound of wind, this powerful sound of wind, this noisy sound of wind comes and invades all the believers together. And what seems like the image we're told in the Bible, it says in verse 3, it looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared on top of them. It's hard to imagine, right? And if you go online, you can Google all these different pictures of what they think it might have looked like. We don't know. But there was the wind, which in the Old Testament often represented the Holy Spirit or the presence of God. There was fire. And if you remember Moses in the burning bush was the presence of God. If you know about Israel in the wilderness, they were led by what at night? They were led by fire. And so these two images of wind and fire are the presence of God. And it's powerful. Now, if this wasn't crazy enough, suddenly, all the believers started talking in languages they didn't speak. Now, I don't know about you if you're good at languages. When I was in year 10, I'll never forget this. I just decided you could do electives. I decided I was going to do French, right? I thought, oh, I'll have a go at French. That sounds good. And about halfway through the year, I'm coming first in French. And at the end of the year, whoever comes first in each subject gets an award. And I think, I'm going to win an award for French. And then halfway through the year, this girl moves from France to Gosford and comes into my French class. Now, that's not fair, right? I was no longer first in French. When the French girl came in, I can still picture her in my mind, this girl coming into class, and I'm like, how deflating it was. And I was like, no, I can't beat this girl at French. Well, here we are, and there's all this commotion and noise, tongues of fire, people speaking in different languages, and all the people in the town hear this commotion. So this wasn't a little, you know, a small group of three people and having this little event. This was a public thing that people heard the commotion, and they all come running to see what's going on. What's all this noise and this wind and this fire? And hang on a minute, I can hear people speaking in my language. I'm from France, or wherever. You've got the list. They weren't from France. You can read the proper list of countries in Acts there if you want to read. We'll pretend they're French for the moment just to keep my story going. And here's these people, and they're hearing the followers of Jesus talk about Jesus in languages they don't even normally speak, and they're hearing him in their language. It's just this crazy supernatural event. Now, lots of people are amazed at what's going on. Some people said, oh, they're just drunk. Look at these drunken idiots. They're all carrying on crazy. What is going on here? This party's got out of control. But lots of people saw and heard and were amazed. And then what happens is the Apostle Peter then steps up and gives the very first sermon that we have in the book of Acts. You could possibly say this was the very first church sermon. The Holy Spirit's come and Peter stands up. And he gives this sermon and he goes through the Old Testament. We're not going to go into all of that. He tells them about how Jesus was predicted, the gift of Jesus, the Messiah. And he gets all the way to his death and his resurrection being fulfilled. And 3,000 people become followers of Jesus. 3,000. And I find that's amazing too. There was no microphones. There was just this commotion and this supernatural event. Everyone comes running to see what's going on. Hears about Jesus in their own language that they don't normally speak, and then suddenly people get to hear about Jesus in their own language, and then Peter preaches, 3,000 people become followers of Jesus, and the church is born. Now, there's so much going on in Acts chapter 2, so much. I just want us to reflect on a few things that we see about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and there's so much more. In fact, if you go and Google names of the Holy Spirit, you'll find out a lot about the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the advocate, the teacher, the helper. There's all these things all through the Bible, names for the Holy Spirit, describing what the Holy Spirit does. You can go and Google that. But just in this first Pentecost coming of the Holy Spirit, I just want us to note a few things. The first is that the Holy Spirit was inclusive. Inclusive. Now, often this word inclusive these days is a negative word. It means you accept anything that goes. But in a positive way, the Holy Spirit was seen to be not just for one nation, wasn't just for Israel, was it? Wasn't just for Australia or the English people. The Holy Spirit was seen to be for all people and all languages. I was listening to a missionary that came to preach at a place I was at, and they're from Thailand, and he said all the locals have a saying, and it's this: to be Thai is to be Buddhist. You might go to India and people say, well, to be Indian is to be Hindu, or to be Middle Eastern is to be Islamic. Well, no. There is one true God, and here the Holy Spirit unites around language all the people and says, I'm the God of all people. There's no one that's excluded. Don't think it's just for this country or that country or this person or that person. I am the one true God for all people and all languages. It's kind of a reversal of the Tower of Babel. If we can have that next slide, please, Sam. Now, where our family's been watching the show Lego Masters, it's just finished. Luke loves it, don't you, Luke? It's been good. And at the start, the very first start of the first episode, everyone in our family had to pick who they thought was going to win a block of chocolate. And I got kind of last pick, but my team won in the end. So none of the kids got chocolate. How good's that? But one of the challenges in Lego Masters 1 week, they made some amazing stuff. You should go and look online at it. But there was one simple one they had to do, where it's just, who can build the biggest tower, right? You've got an hour, build the biggest tower. And one team built a 5-meter tower of Lego. It was quite impressive. Well, the Tower of Babel, back in Genesis, right back at the start of humankind, just after Noah and the world's going off, humankind started to think, how good are we? Look, we're going pretty good. And so they thought, we're going to build a tower that reaches up to the sky, and it's going to be so good, and we're going to look powerful and mighty, and we're just, man, this is going to be so good. Look how good we are. And so they're building this giant tower of Babel. And God looks down on them and he sees their pride. He sees that they're trusting in themselves. He sees that they think that they've got everything under control. And he says, well, I'm not having this. I'm God. You're not God, I'm God. And so what he does to create disunity and to separate people is he confuses all their language. This is the sign, right back to the start of Genesis, the sign of disunity and the sign of putting people apart. He confuses their language so they can't communicate, and then people go off to the different nations, the different parts, and there's this separateness, and then he calls out Israel as his special people. Do you see that? So way back at the start of the Bible, we've got the Tower of Babel, people full of pride, and with language, God separates the people and says, you're broken, you're full of pride, you're not only broken with me, you're going to be broken from each other. What happens at Pentecost? The opposite, right? All the languages of the world are hearing the good news of Jesus together in one place, all in their one language. It's the inclusive Holy Spirit that says, I'm bringing all people together under Christ. That I'm the one true God. Everyone can come to me. So this kind of reversal of that brokenness of the Tower of Babel, where humans in their pride thought we're going to build a tower to heaven, and language got confused. Here, he brings all the languages together, and here they are. I don't know about you, if you've been to a multicultural church. I've been to a couple of places, and there's something quite powerful when you go and do this. And I went to one church in Sydney for a friend's event, and they had a song, and they had people first. There was English and two other languages. So someone sang a verse in English, someone sang the same verse in another language, and then someone sang the same verse in another language. And then they all sang the chorus together in their own languages. And I still get emotional. I was so moved just by that image of the Holy Spirit there uniting those languages. And in Revelation, it says there's going to be all the languages of the world in heaven praising God. What? Can you imagine that? All the languages of the world all singing praises to Jesus. It's the inclusive Holy Spirit that says, I welcome all people. And it goes on further than just that language barrier. And I'm not going to talk long about this, but we'll see further on in Acts. If you go down to verse 17 and 18, for those on home, you'll have it on the screen. There was a prophecy in Joel that predicted the Holy Spirit and said this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So the prediction of Joel, when in the Old Testament, God had his special people, Israel, was that when the Holy Spirit came to start the church, it was for all people. Men, women, young, old, the rich, the poor. It was for all people. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves you, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, can be present with you if you accept Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're 8 or 80. Doesn't matter whether you're a builder, whether you're unemployed, whether you've got $5 million in the bank. Whoever you are, you can have the power and the presence of God in your life. Doesn't matter who you are. So that's the first thing. The Holy Spirit's inclusive. The other ones will be a bit faster. Don't panic. The second part I want you to know is the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's powerful. Now, obviously, there was something special going on at Pentecost. This was the start of the Holy Spirit. So there's some pretty crazy stuff of wind and tongues of fire and that we find hard to imagine. And Christians debate now in our days, in our modern context, what kind of supernatural gifts should we shouldn't see. And we're not going to debate that today, but we are going to say the Holy Spirit is still powerful. It's the same Holy Spirit that was given to believers then that's given to us now. It wasn't, well, they get a special Holy Spirit, and then we kind of get the half Holy Spirit later on. No. There's one Holy Spirit, and it's for all of us. Listen to Romans 8:11. A powerful, powerful verse. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Think about that. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Some versions say it like this. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. I don't know about you, it just seems quite amazing. The Holy Spirit that raised the Messiah, the Son of God, from the grave is the same Spirit that's with us personally as believers. It's not weak, it's not small, it's powerful and mighty. Now, it doesn't mean it's always going to be seen in tongues of fire. But it does mean that it might be seen maybe in a supernatural way that you can have peace when you should be anxious. A supernatural way where people are generous when people are going, what are you doing that for? And I say, well, I've just got it. The Holy Spirit's told me to do this. But here's the question, and I've had mentors ask me this before. What is it in your life that you can say, this wouldn't be happening without God? Or that couldn't have happened without God? Or I couldn't be doing this without the Holy Spirit? Well, where can someone actually look at your life, or can you look at your life and look back at the last year and go, there's the power of God in that. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And there should be something that you can say when you look at your life that God's actually at work. Now, if you can't, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to ask you to pray and reflect that you might see the power of the Holy Spirit in some way. Maybe in a supernatural thing that people see. Maybe in something, a personal growth area. Maybe in something that you couldn't cope with before. That maybe it's one of the fruits of the Spirit that you're going to be filled with that you weren't before. But where, if someone asked you that question, where is something that without the Holy Spirit, this is just not going to happen. This wouldn't have happened. I can't do this. Because the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's powerful. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is personal. It's personal. You know, God poured out His Holy Spirit on the church, but it came through individual believers, through individual people. It came through a group, through individuals. Now, at the very end of Peter's sermon that he preached, verse 38, it says this. I'll just get back into Acts 2. Verse 38. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the start of that verse? You've all got it? No. Each of you must repent. So the Holy Spirit was given to the church, but it comes through individuals. You can't accept the Holy Spirit because your parents are Christians or you went to church or whatever thing you think it is. It's a personal thing between you and God. It's where you can accept Jesus and get the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a personal thing. God is present in all creation, but somehow, amazingly, He's present personally with those that accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's what that verse says. Each of you repent from your sins and turn to God and be baptized. Note the be baptized part as well. For anyone that's listening that hasn't been baptized, there's another little challenge for us all. It's personal. And then finally, so that the Holy Spirit's inclusive, it's drawn people together that were apart. It's given the gift to all people, all ages, doesn't matter who. There's no Baptist Holy Spirit and C3 Holy Spirit, one Holy Spirit. So it's inclusive. It's powerful. You should see God in your life. And it's personal. You have to accept it yourself. And then finally, it's the presence of God. I said before, God is present everywhere in creation. But the Holy Spirit now, because since Pentecost, is personally with you, personally. Down to verse 33 in Acts 2, we note this. Now He, Jesus, is exalted to the place of highest honour in heaven at God's right hand. So, as Jesus said, He's gone to heaven. And the Father, as He has promised, gave Him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. If we go to Romans 8, 9 and 10, let me go. We read Romans 8, 11 before. Romans 8, 9 and 10. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those that don't have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Verse 10. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. So we can say Jesus is in us by the power of the Spirit. So it's okay to say Jesus is with us too and the Father's with us. It's not we can only say the Holy Spirit, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that that takes place. Because Jesus physically went to heaven, but He gave His Holy Spirit part of God so that we can say Jesus is with us. You know, that old way of saying become a Christian, people talk about I accepted Jesus in my heart, which is a bit of a strange thing, you know, this pumping blood thing. But what it's talking about is that presence of the Holy Spirit is personally, we are spiritual beings. We're made to last forever. Not just this physical temporary body. We're made to last forever. We're spiritual beings and the power of God, that Jesus Christ lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And somehow there's a bit of mystery around this for me. I don't know about you, but the very presence of God lives in me. He's not just near me, not walking along and going, are you coming with me, God? Something, you know, I'm having one of those days that you're not with me today. You must have slept in today, God. The very presence of God is actually with me, united with me through Jesus Christ. That's crazy, right? God with me, personally. So the Holy Spirit is inclusive. All people, everyone has gifts of the Spirit who follows Jesus. It's not about a nation, it's not about a race, it's not about a status, it's not about a gender, it's not about an age even. It's all about accepting Jesus and the Holy Spirit, one God for all people. The Holy Spirit's powerful. You need to really think about the presence of God in your life and think, I have power. I have power to overcome things. I have power to overcome sin. I have power to overcome fear. I have power in my life through the Holy Spirit. Maybe power to do miracles that we might see. I don't know what your gifts are. But you have power through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is personal. You're not just catching it off someone else. It's personal between you and God. And then finally, it is the presence, the very presence of the real God personally with us. Amazing. Look, there's so much throughout the Bible we could talk about the Holy Spirit, but we really just want to give thanks today for Pentecost. That God is with us personally. That Jesus didn't go to heaven and say, we'll see you later. He said, no, here I am personally through the power of your Spirit. And I just want us to think about this today. I want us to reflect on how often we think about and pray about and long for the power and the presence of God in our life. How often do we really sit down and worship and pray that we would experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is actually with us? We have it. You're not worshiping so that you can get it. You have it. You possess it through Jesus Christ. You accept the forgiveness of Jesus for your sins. You have the Holy Spirit. But for all of us, in some way, we don't always enjoy the fullness of the Spirit because we're not worshiping and praying and reflecting and asking the Holy Spirit to be with us. He's always with us. But what are you? How aware are you of the Holy Spirit? You need to pray and think about that. How worshipful are you of the Holy Spirit? How longing are you and reliant are you on the Holy Spirit? Is it just part of your constant daily life to be asking the Holy Spirit to be present, to be powerful, to show me what it is you're doing? The power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, as we said before in that verse, when Jesus predicted the Holy Spirit, he said the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And I'll finish with this little quote from Francis Chan. He said, in our Western world, we seem to be so comfortable we don't need the comforter. Interesting little thing, isn't it? You might have heard before, you know, we're overseas, we see all these miraculous things in India and Thailand. There's all these crazy miracles happening and we don't seem to see it as much around here. Maybe we're so comfortable that we don't really long for the comforter, the Holy Spirit, I wonder. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing a song that talks about one of the verses, the birth of the church.